Ryan Seacrest here. Every great barbecue has one secret ingredient. Patience. You do a little, and you wait a little. And while your dinner does its thing, you got a few minutes to yourself, right? Well, kick back with a little Chumba Casino. A flip and a spin. Who knows? Maybe even a login bonus. It is the perfect recipe. Chumba Casino. Always good to have you back.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day and call for help. We were guys, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let me lie. Feline, with a death wish. Eat right, didn't have no name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Show, mostly because of the time this show started. I need you to do a quick impromptu calculation in your head of the people who work here that would take this the worst, starting their show nearly 10 minutes late. Include yourself. You do a show, the bullpen, with B-Mac and others, depending on who's available. Joe George has been on recently when you guys are in Lake Charles. Give me a poll. You don't have to go through the entire lineup per se, but of all the people, maybe give us a top three of people who would take this the worst, most poorly, knowing their show started like at 10:10, already up against the break, just because John and Lance had to talk to Tillman and Fertitta. By the way, Tillman and Fertitta joined John and Lance very late in their show. We're going to have sound from Tillman and Fertitta. He discussed the contracts for Jalen Green and Albert Shingun and what the Rockets need to take the next step. Turns out he agrees with me and not with Lance, which is always a win for me. And I'll tell you what that means a little bit later. So, top three.
Paul, I think the Killer Bees would be tied, honestly.
They both would be.
I just want to just say the Killer Bees because I've always done a show that immediately precedes them. Oh, no, maybe just when Connor and Beard was a thing. I did not do that show. But with Paul Gallant show used to lead into the Killer Bees. Gallant George now leads into the Killer Bees. They don't like it when they're like 3 minutes late. I can't imagine that they would like it too much. 10 minutes late. And I think, and they're luckily never in this situation. John Lance wouldn't love it.
There's no chance.
But there's no chance it ever happens. But just imagine if there was the chance that they're just 10 minutes, like not 10 minutes late because of extenuating circumstances, like yesterday. Just
10 minutes late because the show before them just decided they had content they wanted to get to.
Yeah,
yeah. They're taking advantage, obviously, and it's fine because whatever. This show's at the very beginning is an extension of that show, and then we move on to whatever. But It's a little much. The only reason it took so long is because they couldn't get out of a previous segment where they couldn't shut up. So the Tillman thing went the way it did.
So they also make Tillman wait?
No, what they did was I had to move around live, so Lance had to do a live or two that he would have had to do if they would just got out on time before, because we had to get Tillman on at 9:45. Obviously, the owner of the Rockets. So it was all a.
I thought they got out at 9:45. They're like, just two more minutes, Tillman.
No, he joined at 9:45. They got out at a reasonable time, but you know that show, they love to keep guys on. Like I get a little worried because you know, like a lot of these guys, they're fine with 10, 12 minutes. John Lance, like, let's go 15. Let's go 18.
I mean,
let's go 20.
Buzz Williams. About 20.
Buzz Williams was on earlier today, and he's a coach getting off the practice court. And he joined us right at 8:30. We made sure to have him on exactly when he could come on. That thing went to like 8:49 or something. I was like,
well, you know, they're a chummy bunch. They like to chit chat,
and there was always one more aside or comment that kept Buzz Williams on. Thanks to Buzz Williams for joining us.
Since you put me on the spot, this isn't really putting you on the spot, because I'm sure you have no problem saying
this.
Yeah,
I got no problem.
Who's more at fault for the interviews going long?
Ooh, that's not a bad one. John loves to talk to coaches. He loves a coach. And getting Tillman on is probably a once-a-year thing, maybe, so understood. I would blame John. Okay. Now, Lance is a wordy question guy. But John loves to talk to coaches. So John's the problem.
Lance is like
if we're going to call it a problem.
Lance would be the problem if you go like 2 minutes over. The reason you go 10 minutes
over. It's because of John.
Okay.
It's because of John.
Got it.
It's fine. They're Hall of Famers, if you haven't heard.
Wait, what?
Somehow you missed those proclamations, those announcements. Those guys are Hall of Famers. Let them cook is what we say. Let them cook.
Yeah. I mean, LeBron James is also a Hall of Famer, and he gets to have his son on the team.
It's kind of the equivalent. Going into another guy's show this deep is the equivalent of somehow manufacturing a scenario where your son gets to play in the NBA.
Yeah. Now if they start having their sons in on shows.
Well, have you not heard from the Zerline Brood at different...
I mean, like, where they're like, John's out today. Dell, you're still producing, but...
I would welcome it, be honest with you. I wish they would go that route. Get JT up here. He's a God-fearing individual. I'm not kidding about that. He's been in Destin, Florida, proselytizing to the good people of Destin. Bring JT on here to talk about his experiences. Former college quarterback. He'd have things to discuss, like, what if you got benched for a famous quarterback's, well, at least their name is famous, how would you respond?
I mean, he's kind of the Arch Manning, though.
It's true.
His dad's a Hall of Famer.
Kuppa's not a Hall of Famer.
Well, yeah, but he comes from a famous family.
They both come from famous families. So, that is why I don't know many people who are just tuning in at, like, 10:03 for this show when it normally begins. But if you're wondering, hey, what the hell is going on? That's what it was. Tillman Fertitta joined us.
Or if you're a podcast listener, you're like, wow, they're complaining a lot for something that does not matter to me.
That's true. Well, now you know why. And it was a unique scenario. You get the owner of the Rockets on. You want to talk to him. That's understood. And we will play some of that sound if you missed it from Tillman Fertitta's time here. And with the Rockets starting tonight against Charlotte, that is just more evidence that the NBA season has begun. I can't say that the NBA would be fond of what was opening night, at least particularly the opening game. The Celtics are a bad product, not because they're not great, dominant performance against the Knicks, but you can't let bad people succeed or they will like test the limits of what you can take. The Celtics, everything's a three or layup thing happen, and it happened to great effect last year. Those guys came through. Tatum and Brown won themselves a title. That's why we have the thing we have to close the show, which just speaks to how corny Tatum is. Brown ain't that far behind, to be honest with you.
We did it!
That he mimicked every memeable thing he could in a span of like 18 hours to celebrate his first title. So when you allow those guys to win a title, this is what we get. That show yesterday, if you want to call it that, all we're going to do is take threes. It's effective. It happened here in this city. What they're doing isn't new. That's what Daryl Morey and the Rockets with Mike D'Antoni were doing at their best. You have a central figure in James Harden and no mid-range until Chris Paul got here. It's threes and layups or dunks. That's all we're looking for in free throws. In fact, the Rockets were like threes and frees, not necessarily even layups, but those were the things they pushed. And the Celtics are at a point where we're just going to take this as far as we can. And the Knicks had a bad plan. You have all these switchable defenders. That's the reason you got all these guys to confront the Celtics' tactics and try to take advantage of them. And you're either playing the drop or you're letting Karl Anthony Towns get exposed. It's a bad plan. But the Celtics at one point I saw were like 19-34 in the first half. I think that's where they got to as far as threes. And not like even deep into the first half. I think I saw they had put up 30-plus threes like 3 minutes into the second quarter. They're like, you know what? we were validated by what we did last year. We're going to go even further than you think and see.
Imagine if James Harden won a title. Imagine kind of
that did cross my mind. What would have happened if the Rockets got what they wanted and won a title the way they were playing, particularly before Chris Paul got here? Because Chris Paul added a different element. But if it was the heliocentric Harden thing and we're going to win a title that way, could you imagine the level they would take it to say, hey, you can't say nothing to us.
I mean,
we won.
I mean, even like the 2018, like imagine if Chris Paul, just Chris Paul, the personality, also won a title.
Oh, yeah, that like, too, yeah.
Like, talk about you can't talk to me like that, Chris Paul. Yes, I can. I won a title.
Yes, I can say whatever I want. You got nothing to say. The last thing you had over me is gone.
Yeah, little did we know that, I mean, that's just how he talks.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. He will talk to whoever he wants to. And he'll bully European players if he can. That's part of his bag, too. So it was a blowout. The Celtics spent the last 8 minutes of that game trying to break the three-point record. And the only thing I rooted for was them not to get it. And I got my wish. They're the little thing, Sean.
Yeah.
We're going to do something this today that I'm introducing, and it'll be a week thing because the whole point of it is Hater of the Week. So you can bring your candidates to the table at any point today and throughout the week, 713-780-3776. I was inspired by it because I heard some Joe Flacco sound when he was on the Manning cast, and Joe Flacco is a surprise hater. So I'll play that sound a little bit later so you guys can give yours if you think one should be represented. But I was hating so hard for them not to make it. Like, get out of here, Hauser. Pritchard, you had Tillman taking threes to try to break it. I was like, none of you guys deserve to be the person who breaks this record. And I was so thrilled. I don't care about the Knicks. They can lose all their games. Certainly the Celtics can fall in that category too. But the fact that they tried as hard as they could and couldn't get it done, only solace you can take from what appears to be the clear favorite to win it all again.
Yeah, I think they started 29 of 51 and they ended 29 of 61.
Yeah,
they still shot almost 50% from three,
they were awesome.
And they missed the last 10.
Yeah, that's how good they were. Josh Hart said they all need to be tested for performance enhancing drugs. He said, "I never seen shooting like that. The NBA needs to test those guys."
Josh Hart's definitely not seen shooting like that.
not when he's reviewing his own film. Certainly not.
Not when he's watching Bridges shoot either.
Yeah, the Mikal Bridges thing is going to be something that gets pointed at all year long. Now, he found a way to make some stuff inside the arc. I think he even knocked down a couple threes, but I saw a tweet from someone that said it looked like the Monstars took his talent. That's the way he was playing yesterday.
I saw someone say he shoots like he just got new arms.
I did see that too.
that's how he shoots. It's like he's not used to having arms.
The giant story in the NBA, mostly because he's a Knick now and the trade, the 5 first-round picks, is that Mikal Bridges has tweaked his shooting form and it's awful. There's a hitch that no one can really explain. Austin Rivers was talking about it. He didn't know why it was going this way. We got people pointing out what he looked like as a Net and as a Sun, and what he has done to change that stroke looks terrible. And the results aren't great either. 2 for 7 is actually a positive because his last preseason game, I think he missed every three he took. He was like 0-for-10 or something like that.
He was 0-for-the preseason.
Yeah, taking threes. And I think he might even got into double digits in that final game. Don't remember exactly, but he was bad all through the preseason. So he made a couple. So that's improvement. It wasn't great. The whole effort from the Knicks wasn't great. And then the following game, I mean, the Bronny-LeBron thing, I don't care that much about. But the win was actually the bigger deal. The Lakers in game one looked really good. They handled that Wolves team, who certainly has high expectations, but is going through some transition.
I think I saw a stat that this was the first time the Lakers have started, I think, 1-0 in the LeBron era, or maybe like they're 0 for the last like
couple?
5, okay. Or I don't know. Has he been there for 5 years? I think he has. 0 for their last whatever in the season opening game. Like they always just lose the like TNT opening night. Let's have a good team face the Lakers. Because that's normally what it is.
Yeah, it is that.
It's have a good team face the Lakers. And normally the Lakers are a mess.
And the good team was like, thanks. We'd love to start 1-0.
All right.
Not for the Wolves last night. No Towns, obviously. He's in New York and got blown out. And then you had Julius Randle and Dante DiVincenzo out there getting smothered by AD, who had a great night. Which all leads to tonight. full slate. Rockets have Charlotte. We'll play some sound from the two guys who got big deals, and we'll also play sound from the guy who's paying them. Tillman Fertitta had thoughts on the contracts. He did kind of push back on the thought that these are team-friendly deals. When you're a guy cutting the check, nothing about giving guys $100-plus million guaranteed is going to feel team-friendly. But he got into it about that and also what the Rockets need to take the next step. There's some thought that just growth from within can get that done. That is part of the plan for the Rockets, but also not just growth. There needs to be a substantial jump, according to Tillman Fertitta, from one of their two new highly paid guys if they want to get to where they want to get to this year. So we'll certainly hear from him in a little bit. Other things, we got some Texans news, some actual news. They made a signing. Now, a guy who was on the street because he got cut by the Eagles, but he is a linebacker of some name. We'll talk about what Devin White might bring to the Texans. Does that mean that Christian Harris is further away than we would want? He is not going to return this week, so that's another week without Christian Harris. Aaron Wilson had some reporting on injuries concerning the likes of Nico Collins and Kamari Lassiter, where they stand. So a lot to get to. We're just getting started here on the show. I was thinking about this because it's something we have in our misery index, but there's a report of the 10 most disappointing teams. And I don't know if you looked at it, Sean. We should do a blind guess, and then we'll see if we match up with this.
We each try to think of like five different ones.
Yeah, then we see if it matches up with the article, because we do this all the time, talking about teams who lose and make their fan base miserable.
We should have a good gut feel for it.
Yeah, who they are.
What names we say a lot.
Names we always talk about. And it should be pretty simple. Just go by who was rated high or who had a high ranking in the AP poll to start the year and see where they are now and make the comp. So we'll see where we fall there. So anyone who want to get in, once again, 713-780-3776. We do have more tickets to give away for the Cougs against the Utes. Maybe Utah might make the list. That was a team people thought could win the Big 12. That is no longer the case. So if you want to go see the Utes versus the Cougs, we'll have tickets for you there. Okay, so we got Rockets. We've got Texans to get to. We have Roy Oswalt chiming in on the Astros Bregman situation. So we'll hear from a former Astros great as well. We'd like to hear from you too. We will be back.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Rockets begin their year tonight, their season tonight, against the Charlotte Hornets. Their starting center, Albert Shingun, got a new deal. And for him, that allows him to focus on something else. Here's Albert Shingun yesterday after practice, on what he can now focus on with that deal done.
I can focus on the basketball now only, you know. Just go over there and hoop and give my best for the team. And, you know, I want to be championship with the Rockets one day. So that's my next goal now. And that's what we're going to do.
So Jalen Green also spoke, and I was going to pull that, but the sound of the basketballs bouncing just obstructed all the sound.
Yeah, he's a little bit too soft of a
speaker. Yeah, it's not great. He talked about being happy to be in Houston, and obviously he has the same goals. Sean mentioned during the break, he did a sit-down with Vanessa Richardson, formerly of ESPN 97.5, now of Space City Home Network, that the goal is to make the playoffs. That's what they need to do. It's what is expected. I know that is an expectation here in the city after that 41-win season. You're paying a couple of your young players, so you're solidified with them. Yes, Jalen Green has a more of a show-me type deal, but you still committed to him over $30-plus million per year going forward. So the playoffs are the goal. Well, we had Tillman Fertitta, the guy cutting those checks, on with John and Lance, and he discussed what needs to get done to make sure that happens. Here's Tillman Fertitta on what needs to happen from an internal improvement point of view to make sure the Rockets reach their goals.
At a function last night with a lot of our season ticket holders and Oak Room members and there's just a tremendous amount of excitement. And I just got on the line and was listening to what you were saying. And you know, the excitement is you have all these young guys, and you just, one of them will step up to be an all-star, and that's the difference. But what's most exciting is that when we can take some injuries, is that this year, when you look at your 14th and your 13th and your 12th and your 11th player, you know, that's like Aaron Holiday and Jeff Green and Jayshon Tate. And these guys would be in rotations in most teams. But that's all real positive, but we need a couple of guys to step up and start on that all-star track. Because if you look at all the teams that are really, really good, they all have two all-stars. Mm-hmm. But we're young. We're young. They'll become all-stars. It's just, are they there yet?
Tillman Fertitta on This Morning with John and Lance. And that's kind of been my stance when I talk about this Rockets team and what they can become and what people's expectations are and how they align with how the league goes. Whether you think they're going to beat their over, which I think is like at 43.5, at least at a couple spots, or you think this team is a sixth seed, or maybe you think they can push for 50 wins. Who is going to be the guy who elevates them to a point where that's a reasonable expectation? Because you look around the league, and Tillman told you, the really good teams have all-stars. Let's forget about the really good teams. Let's forget about the contenders. The playoff teams, the teams who aren't scrounging around in the play-in area, and even those teams have all-stars, whether they were all-stars in the recent past or they were all-stars that season. Let's go with the Pelicans. No one thinks the Pelicans are great. They had Zion Williamson, who made an all-star game in 2023. You had Brandon Ingram, who can be a subject of derision. He was an all-star in 2020. That's a bit ago, but he has shown he's capable of that. Go to the Kings.
I completely forgot that he was an all-star.
Yeah, go to the Kings. Sabonis, Fox, those guys, all-stars. Do the Rockets have – and that's a team who is a 46-type win team, make the six seeds. They were a three seed a couple years ago, and then they got beat by the Warriors. But they're in the range where you think the Rockets can compete with them. They have guys who make all-star teams. Who is making the all-star team for this Rocket team to make them a clear playoff team? And hell, as I said, let's look into the East. The Heat have Bam Adebayo and Jimmy Butler. They were a play-in team. Now, injuries played a part in that, but even them, two guys who have made multiple all-star teams, a guy who's led a team to two finals, and Bam was his running mate there, were a seventh seed. Were an eighth seed, actually. Scratch that. They're an eighth seed. The Magic. You would think, Magic aren't so great, right? Ben Carroll, all-star last year. So when we talk about making and taking that next step, the Rockets need to find an all-star internally, because that's where it's going to come from this year if we want to consider them not even a serious contender, but a serious playoff team. They have some options, but even the owner's telling you, one of them needs to do it. And that's why I kind of want to temper what I think about what they can be. I get the depth. I get the talent all across the board. You heard Tillman talk about guys who, at least in his eyes, could be in rotations around the league, are like their 12th and 13th guy. Aaron Holiday is like, shh, hey, quiet down calling me a 12th and 13th guy, please. Knock it off.
Hey,
watch it.
Wait, what, then what's Reed Shepard?
well, I think we know Aaron. I think we know what he is.
No.
I'm Aaron Holiday and Jayshon Tate. Hey, please don't label me as a 13th guy. I'm not looking for that.
He could have just said there's some guys on this team that would be, you know, 7th, 8th men that are going to be our 12th and 13th.
Why you gotta,
he could have just said that.
Hey, media training. Don't single us. Please don't single us out.
You got Jeff Green's old ass.
What if he did say that? We've got Uncle Jeff. He's old. He could play in a playoff rotation, but we'll barely play him.
Yeah.
If I had my way, he may play him in closing time.
He was better than Jabari some games. Hey.
Quiet down. Hey, we got a core 7.
You're right, but come on.
We got a core 7. Stop telling people old Jeff Green was better than one of our core members. Okay, jokes aside. But he has a point of view, and I don't think it's wrong. Now, if we had to guess, Şengün or Green? Who is an all-star this year, Sean? Who is the guy we're going to point to and go, this is the reason the Rockets are a top six seed?
I think it's more likely to be Şengün because he wasn't close, but he was putting up numbers that get you on the like edge of the list kind of guys. So I think Şengün. I think what really is going to happen is that there's going to be debate amongst who gets credit, and there might be not like severe vote splitting because if you're good enough, obviously teams get two guys in the All-Star game all the time. But when you're the new, you know, six, or I think even like a six seed is like, I don't know if they can really get that high. I'm thinking play-in games. I'm thinking get ready for some play-in games.
This is what I'm thinking, but the thinking among people who are very positive about this team, it's about, hey, we should be a playoff team who doesn't even have to worry about the play-in. And then they will, oh, yeah, but the West is really strong. But still, we should be one of those teams.
Yeah, and a little bit of the West is, like, there's going to be a team that just gets, like, nuked by injuries, like, Memphis last year. Like, I brought it up yesterday. Like, the Warriors are really just a Curry 4 to 6 week long injury from just being out.
Sure, that could happen.
And same thing with the Lakers, who we saw last night. So I think that is where the depth actually is kind of a benefit. But I agree with Tillman that you still do need guys to be not just step up, but like be like real guys night in, night out. Like, I mean, honestly, if they could just be baby's first De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, if that can be Jalen and Şengün, because the skill sets aren't one-to-one, but they're pretty similar between those guys, of just fastball handler and European big man who can pass. That's very simplifying it, but that's the overall, the two-man game kind of stuff. They make it work.
Yeah.
And De'Aaron Fox was not a good shooter for the first, like, 7 years of his career.
He certainly found it as the Kings took a step up. Now they've added DeRozan, so they have added some talent there. But if you talk about the team as a whole, you look at them
and that's
top
where,
to bottom, you might go the Rockets at least are more talented
from
1 through 10.
Yeah, and that's where the Aaron Holiday is our 12th guy. That's where that sets in is over the course of an 82-game schedule. You're going to have guys out. I mean, we're going to see it with Philly tonight. Like, their two of the three best players are out. Tyrese Maxey might be better than Paul George. But two of their three best players are just out night one, already not healthy. Yep. And that's just going to happen when you look around at the West especially, and there's such a chasm between young teams and old teams. There's old teams, and then there's young teams. There's not, I mean, maybe the Nuggets are the ones where it's like most of their guys are still in their prime.
Well, maybe give it, in the West, yeah.
In the West.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the Grizzlies, you might throw them in there too.
Yes.
Jaren Jackson, Ja Morant. Now, they're obviously relatively to most of us, they're young, but as far as the NBA is concerned, they've been around long enough.
Yeah, I mean, Ja Morant is still like 24, 25.
Yeah.
But I get
Desmond
what you're
saying. Bane, all those guys. They're young veterans. We'll call them that.
Young veterans. They're like the youngest. They're not a young team.
Sure.
That you can get. But yeah, for the most part, you just go down the list. Like Phoenix, kind of an old team. LA, both LAs, old teams. The more we talk about it, I don't think we have to worry about the Clippers that
not
much.
Not so much.
I think the Rockets should be better than Clippers. Warriors, old team. Then you have the Nuggets, the Timberwolves, mostly a young team.
Yeah.
They're best players young. And they started a lot of young guys, but they do
they're
also
a bit older now.
Most of the role players are older.
Yeah, and DiVincenzo, Randall are obviously veterans. Not old players, but they're on the up. They're in that upper 20s area. Yeah.
Drafted.
Yeah. So yeah, there are teams, but to your point, there are some drastic things as far as old and young, and then we throw in some of the other contenders with the Nuggets and the Wolves. Well, we need an all-star here to take a step. Does Şengün have a new way to get there? I think it's going to be infuriating for people who aren't Rockets fans if he's going to be prolific at this, because he was taught something in the offseason that may make him more efficient and make him a guy who lives at the line. Here's Şengün about that move.
saw you using kind of a new move in preseason where you would hold your arms out and kind of draw the fouls by going through defenders, kind of like James Harden, Joel Embiid. Did you look at some film of those guys in the offseason to add that to your game?
Coach Cam, you know, he's close to players like Darius and all those players, so he taught me that move, and it's hard to guard for the bigs, you know, because I play with the 7 foot, 7'1", 7'2". They have long arms, and, you know, it's just hard to do for me, but it's another bag in the court for me.
Alper Şengün, foul baiter. Welcome to 2024-2025.
I mean, that it's not if he actually becomes Joel Embiid, and that's going to be an issue. Or not, like, with the injuries and stuff, just the actual offensive
game. He has
game.
Such a high approval rating around the league. From people who just watch the Rockets, fans of the Rockets, just generally, Alper Şengün, that name gets thrown out there. Yeah. You hear all positivity about he can be one of the next great ones. That's Lance does the baby Joker thing, but a lot of people do that too.
He's not alone.
He's not alone. If he becomes a foul baiter, oof.
But
it'll be great as far as his game and scoring, but as a product to watch, not that he should be concerned about that much. It's going to turn on him if he becomes a foul baiter.
But that's how you turn 21 points
per game. It's 27.
25,
That's so, how you become a guy who lives at the line and becomes an all-star. Hey, tell me you want an all-star.
Boom.
Let me get to the line 13 times
and
a game.
I know Dillman doesn't have any problems with his all-star shooting a million free throws.
Yeah, he's lived through it. He may not have been born in it. He was maybe molded by it. So there it is. We'll hear more from Tillman Fertitta because a lot of the talk was about the contracts and how beneficial they were for the Rockets. He doesn't really align with that type of thinking. But if you missed the entire interview, you can hear it on the podcast page. It was the final segment of the third hour of the John and Lance Show. Tillman Fertitta joined the show. We'll probably get to that final clip from Tillman in the second hour. When we come back, we will talk about what's going on with the Texans. They made a signing. What does it mean for their current linebacker core? And we'll have an update on some of their other injured players like Kamari Lassiter and Nico Collins with practice beginning here shortly. So we'll get to that when we come back.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll get to the Texans news here. They host the Colts on Sunday, but if you want to go to a game in the city on Saturday, now's your chance. Caller 5 right now to 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs host the Utah Utes. It'll be at TDECU Stadium at 6 p.m. It's homecoming, so get ready for a night of thrilling plays, hard-hitting action, and unforgettable moments. Nothing beats the tradition, pageantry, and the roar of the crowd of a college football game. Tickets start at just $15. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS. Come early, be loud, and wear red, and pack that stadium for homecoming. But now's your chance to go for free. 713-780-3776 wins a pair of tickets to watch the Cougs versus the Utah Utes here at TDECU Stadium. Okay, we'll get that done for you. The Texans, they made a signing. They signed Devin White. That name should sound familiar, former Tampa Bay Buck, the linebacker, Super Bowl winner. There's a reason he was out in the street. It's because when the Eagles signed him this offseason, they didn't play him a down in the regular season. Devin White lost the chance at starting the job to N'Kobe Dean, the former Georgia Bulldog, and Zach Bond. Those are the two linebackers they're featuring in Philly under new defensive coordinator Vic Fangio. When you hear the name Devin White, you think, oh, I remember that guy. But he has not played a down of football all year long. But the Texans are in desperation mode for linebackers. They've got issues there with Al-Shaair being down. And Henry Toto, who, according to reports, don't expect him back this week coming off the concussion. We'll see what he feels like later in the week. But they're saying he was still a little bit sensitive to light. I saw that report earlier this week. So Devin White is needed, at least even for just a body. Even if it's just going to be Hanson and Neville Hewitt again, you need another linebacker, and they make that signing. Christian Harris is the question mark beyond Tua and Al-Shaair. When is Christian Harris coming back? Someone screenshotted the Texans website, and it said, and it had Christian Harris' name under designated to return. What does that mean? That was posted 4 hours ago. In the meantime, they signed Devin White. Devin White, I don't want to call him washed, but Philly had a real need at that spot, and they got a look at him in camp and said, nope, not here. You can't play for us.
No thanks.
We appreciate what you've done, but you did it for Tampa, not for us, so you're not going to play for us. Vic Fangio has complete control of that side of the ball in Philly, and he said no. We know D'Amico likes a reclamation project. He brought in Okuda and C.J. Henderson. One of those guys is still here. Yes, it's Okuda. He's just hurt, so he doesn't play either. But at least he has an excuse. What's Devin White's excuse? Not good? That's what his excuse was in Philly? He's not good, at least for that system. He's only 26, by the way. Feels like he's been around forever, mostly because he was a college linebacker. He was a big name as a freshman, so he's seen him around for a long time. But he's only been around. He's only 26 and not out of the league, but off the active roster.
Was he on the 2019 LSU team?
Or was he
before that?
I'll look that up.
Okay. Because if he's like 27, that's like right around there.
Yeah, it would make some sense. Maybe he left right before.
He's 26.
So
he was in the 19 draft. So it was the year before
that team went on to win a national title.
Because Burrow and all those guys were in the 20. Yeah. No, Burrow was in the 20 draft with the...
Yeah, with Tua and Herbert and Chase.
And Clyde
No,
Edwards
Chase was came in the next year.
Yeah, I was thinking Clyde Edwards-Helaire and
those guys. Yeah.
Jefferson.
So, what do we make of it? I hope he's got something left. I hope it was just a bad system fit in Philly. They misevaluated how he would fit into their system because N'Kobe Dean was a guy who had struggled there. It's one of the reasons they brought in Devin White. They needed answers at linebacker after some departures and what appeared to be whiffs on draft picks. Instead, he couldn't get on the field. So will he be active this week? Certainly will be determined by what type of shape he's in. But welcome Devin White to the Texans. A body was needed. Just so happens your name that we know. We hope it's more than that, though. Hope it's like Devin White's out there. And look, Philly just didn't know how to use him. I don't want to say, man, Vic Fangio was right about him. He is not an NFL linebacker anymore.
Yeah, and I hope that when Al-Shaair and when Tua Tua is back, we see less Devin White. I hope he's Jake Hansen insurance. Mm. Or Jake Hansen. He's taking Jake Hansen's job.
A depth linebacker.
Depth linebacker, special teams, that kind of stuff.
I don't remember him playing a lot of special teams in Tampa.
Because he was drafted in the top 10.
Yeah.
That's probably why.
So,
maybe he doesn't know how. Or
if he was the fifth overall pick. If he was a special teams linebacker, I'm sure Philly would have found a place for him. But he didn't have any value on special teams, and he wasn't going to play for them on defense, so he didn't get on the field. So I don't know if there's much special teams value for Devin White. I think they're just taking a shot. They're like, we don't know.
Just get talent.
Just get him in here and see. Well, they've done it before. It didn't work out. Turns out they were fortunate to draft Kamari Lassiter, who's now down, or they would have been in real trouble. Beyond Jeff Okuda's injury, the Henderson-Okuda thing wasn't working out. But Kamari Lassiter did. He's just hurt. And Aaron Wilson has some reporting there saying he's getting better. Don't expect him to play on Sunday, but he's progressing well, Kamari Lassiter. Same for Nico Collins. At least at this point, they're expecting him to be back when he can, as soon as he can, off the four-game IR. So that's good news. I am a bit concerned that there isn't a definite for Kamari Lassiter, but all I can go is by what is out there, and they're saying he's progressing well enough that he should be back pretty soon.
Yeah, is that the situation where it's actually kind of the opposite of Nico Collins, where we felt like, oh, Nico Collins be out week or two,
sure,
and he'll be back. And then when he gets IR'd, you're like, oh my God, he's going to be out a month. It's so sudden. Are we doing the opposite with Kamari Laster, where if he was just IR'd, we would feel better about, oh, this is going to be a 4-week injury and then he'll be back? Because he's already missed
2 games.
He got hurt in the Bills game. So
2 games.
2 games and probably a third. So yes, he could have been IR.
So, yeah, instead of carrying him on the roster, you could have put him on IR. It won't make any sense if he's not back by the fourth game that he would have missed if he was on IR. So we'll see. They took a chance. They think they didn't want to make that decision. Good. Thankfully, they did it with Nico Collins. The Bucs didn't, and now Mike Evans is not expected back before their bye, which I think is like week 11 or something like that. So he's going to be down for a while, as opposed to resting him, maybe not putting him on our eye, but not pushing him out there when he was limping before the game, according to one of our callers. Now that thing popped, and he's going to be out quite a while. The Texans avoided that with Nico Collins, and he appears to be well on his way to being back when that IR stint is over. The Chiefs made a former move, or excuse me, they made a move for a former Texan. We have not talked about that at all. So we'll get to that in the second hour. We'll hear more from Tillman Fertitta, who joined John and Lance from, well, the show obviously from 7 to 10. He joined them at 9:45 to discuss his Rockets. So we'll get to more from Tillman Fertitta as well. We also have a giveaway, a 4-pack of tickets to the Cougs versus the Aggies. That's a charity game. That'll be Sunday at the Fertitta Center. And it is called the Fertitta Center, right? Okay, making sure. I've said Fertitta so many times, I didn't want to make a mistake there.
Fertitta, it should have been a Fertitta Arena. But Fertitta Center also works. Who am I to disagree with?
Irwin that? Center, of all things. Is it the Moody's? What is it called now? What's the Texas basketball arena called now?
I think it's Moody Center.
So, yeah, who are you to have a problem with Center as a basketball name?
Well, I think Fertitta Arena is just fun, more fun to say.
But I think Fertitta Center is a better name, but Fertitta Arena may be a more fun name. Yeah. But I don't mind Center, and that game will be there. It'll be an exhibition, but Buzz Williams, who joined the show, the John Lance show earlier today as well, said they're going to treat it like a real game. Like, they're going to go through the same routine they go through as far as preparation, where they're going to stay, all those things. So the Aggies are coming in with serious intentions. I don't think we should be doubting the Cougs on that either. Kevin Sumlin will join John and Lance tomorrow as well at 8:30 to discuss the season overall and that game against a team they're very familiar with after playing them last year. Okay, hour one, we're done with. We'll come back with some Astros commentary. It's not really news, but Roy Oswalt has chimed in on the Bregman Astros situation, and Brian Cashman may have pushed the scales in the Dodgers' favor for who you should root for if you don't know who to root for when it comes to that World Series between two teams you really, really, really hate. We'll hear from Brian Cashman, the GM of the Yankees, in the second hour. We will be back.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games as all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.